The views expressed on this program are those of the individual participants and not necessarily those of WVUD or the University of Delaware. Welcome to the Music Room on WVUD and WVUD HD1 Newark. Each week, WVUD hosts different artists to talk about the music they play and the lives they lead. Stay tuned for the Music Room on WVUD.
Amanda Richard here, and tonight on the Music Room, we have a preview of UD Opera Theater's production of Robert Ward's The Crucible, an opera that will be performed on Friday, November 13th at 8 p.m. and Sunday, November 15th at 3 p.m. in the Lattice Recital Hall of the Amy DuPont Music Building. Musical director Blake Smith and conductor James Allen Anderson were kind enough to let me come to their Sitzprobe, the first rehearsal of the orchestra and the singers together on Friday, November 6th. So you'll hear some musical excerpts from that rehearsal and several interviews with members of the cast and Blake Smith, the director, and Rachel Lipson, the assistant director. Let's start off by hearing from two of the students.
Hi, my name is Olivia Markey. I'm a first-year graduate student here, and I'm singing the role of Abigail Williams.
Hi, I'm Travis Lucas. I am also a first-year grad student here at the University of Delaware, and I will be singing the title role, John Proctor.
This opera is very much different than the last UD opera presentation that I saw you in, Falstaff.
It is. It's kind of night and day. Falstaff is a classic, and it's, you know, a big traditional opera. But this one, it's more modern. It's in English. It's based on the Arthur Miller play. So I think a lot of different people that wouldn't normally think to come to an opera would really enjoy it.
Falstaff was a romantic comedy, but that's not how I would describe The Crucible.
Yeah, The Crucible is definitely a lot darker. A lot of more darker undertones, not only to the storyline, but also to the music as well. Robert Ward is just such a gem and such a genius with this opera. He won a Pulitzer Prize for it, and it's quite evident once you hear the music and really see it in person. It's stunning.
Yeah, there's a lot of really beautiful moments. There's a lot of really beautiful, complex ensembles, and the orchestral writing is in a lot of places lush, and I think that opera fans that don't think they like modern opera would be surprised how much they enjoyed it.
After that introduction by Travis and Olivia, let's hear what the director, University of Delaware faculty member Blake Smith, has to say about The Crucible.
So Arthur Miller, of course, is one of the most really influential 20th century American playwrights. And The Crucible came in at a very odd time to be reflecting on late 17th century witch trials in colonial America. But the fascinating thing about the actual significance of The Crucible is that the real statement that Miller was trying to make by addressing this subject matter was McCarthyism, the House Committee on Un-American Activities. So many artists were drawn into that for reasons that really had very little practically to do with actual communist sympathies and that sort of thing. People who were suspected to be gay, people who movie studios were trying to blackball for posturing large contract disputes, all of these really complicated issues. This House committee was designed just to be a sort of carte blanche witch hunt, for the lack of a better word, on America's artists in large part. And Miller wrote the play as a significant, well, not so subtle metaphor about the impossible, incredulous nature of judging people when there is no tangible evidence possible.
He had talked as he was working on it that he had some ideas that might make a good opera.
It's interesting because as popular as Miller is, not a lot of his stuff has been adapted musically at all. And Robert Ward, the person who actually adapted The Crucible, is a very, very well-known composer in the 20th century. He wrote in a surprisingly sort of post-romantic instrumental idiom. The vocal writing in The Crucible is nothing like you would find in a 19th century romantic opera, where the focus is on the beauty of the voice and the lyricism that's possible in opera. Instead, it's the vocal lines are really quite angular and disjunct and more fitting of the text than the typical sort of abstract lyricism of traditional singing. And the piece is, it's really Ward's biggest hit in the 20th century, and one of the most intense 20th century operas that there is. There's no moment in the play or in the opera that is particularly light or that is particularly calming and comforting. It is anxious from the very downbeat. And while the focus of the anxiety shifts a little bit, not until very, very late in the fourth act do you feel any sort of remote positivity about things. And even then, when you're feeling that positivity, it's against the backdrop of somebody making an impossible choice, whether to choose the honor of their family and their name over following the desires of this unjust, highly political court.
You two share the same role.
Yes. We do.
it's been pretty easy because we can divide the acts pretty evenly, so we were able to switch off in rehearsals and get the same amount of rehearsal time. So that's been nice.
In real life, you better tell us who you are.
Oh, my name is Kate Russa, and I'm a second-year master's vocal performance student.
I'm Caitlin Tierney, and I am in the same boat as Kate. Yeah.
Well, Caitlin, you sang your bit there in Act 2, and your cast applauded you.
Yeah, we're really nice to each other. I think, you know, we're all very supportive, and it's pretty, you know, it's pretty difficult repertoire, so I think, you know, especially big parts like that are yay for a surviving sort of attitude.
What is the role that you two are splitting?
We are splitting the role of Elizabeth Proctor. She's been accused of witchcraft by her husband's mistress, Abigail Williams, who used to be their servant, but our character, Elizabeth Proctor, dismissed her when she found out about the affair.
Yeah.
Now, this is the Sitzprobe, but already you're starting to act.
I think when you enjoy the music, it's really hard not to be into it. I don't think you can really separate yourself from the music in that sort of... It's not, like, all, like, clinical.
Yeah. The music was set so perfectly to the words that it makes it easy for us to act. It just seems natural to feel a certain way or make a certain gesture just because of how well the music is written as well.
You both are second-year graduate students.
Yes.
What is next?
Well, I think any musician will tell you there's... no certainties and, you know, what exactly will come next. It's a matter of going out there and auditioning and seeing what comes your way. I mean, everything is kind of infiltrated with a lot of singers. So you just have to be really resilient in this career path.
For me, it's a similar thing. I'll be auditioning for young artist programs, performing opportunities wherever we can find them, we'll be auditioning. Also teaching voice lessons, and I am considering maybe getting a doctorate as well.
Then you too can conduct an opera.
I don't know about that, but I might be able to do some coaching and directing at some point. That would be nice. I would like that.
I mean, to me, one of the things that's cool about the double casting is it means more people get to do things and you get to work together as a team.
I think there's something nice too, especially because we are such young singers. Some of this repertoire is a little bit maybe beyond the scope of what we're vocally capable of doing at some moments. So it's very nice to kind of share the load and not have to, start to strain ourselves with singing this material over and over again.
Yeah, professional opera singers aren't rehearsing or singing their role every day like we will be next week in Tech
That's
Week.
Another thing.
So it's really great for the more substantial roles to share the workload, so you're only running the show every other night as opposed to every night and not getting vocally tired.
Thanks very much, Kate and Caitlin.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
My name is Cara Farrow, and I'm a senior vocal performance major, and I'm singing Mary Warren. She's sort of a very interesting character. She seems to be timid, but at the same time, she kind of just does what she wants. She definitely saves herself at the end of the show, but throughout, I would say, the beginning until right at the very end, she sort of lets everyone control her in a certain way, until the very end when she ultimately makes her decision and is like, well, you know, I'm not going to go to jail, so you guys can all do what you need to do.
What's your career path going to be?
Well, I plan to perform for as long as I can, so being here at UD has, like, honestly been one of the best choices I've ever made. I've been really fortunate to have had a role every year since sophomore year, and that's sort of crazy from knowing people who are in different programs, and I'm probably going to go straight to grad school after this. And I hope to, after grad school, just start performing. Hopefully I'm getting jobs. And yeah, I definitely, like, performing is something that I 100% want to do. So I'm willing to, like, do anything that will help me be able to just keep performing, even if I'm doing, like, small house things, not getting paid to do things, and still being able to do it. That's something that I really hope to be doing for the rest of my life. And if I have to support myself by being a waitress, then so be it.
What kind of music do you like to sing the best?
I enjoy singing stuff like The Crucible, but my main hope is to be doing stuff like Mozart for the rest of my life. I just really like his music and that style and classical sort of music.
And now we return to students Travis Lucas and Olivia Markey. Are you both hoping for careers teaching or singing?
You know what? Both, actually. I would love to continue my studies performing, whether it be in a DMA program or a prestigious young artist program within Houston Grand Opera or even the Met. Well, that would be great. We're all trying to strive for that goal. But I think my career as a singer, I really want to focus on for the next 20, 30 years, actually.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, singing has been just, you know, my passion for as long as I can remember. And if I could go ahead and do that for the rest of my life, it would be, you know, a thrill. But I also am really into production work, and I'm hoping maybe I can branch into that direction at some point. But if I'm in the theater, then I will be happy on stage or off.
I think it's unusual that a university with a music program of our size puts together one or two full-scale operas a year.
I know Olivia was an undergrad here, so she knows the program a lot better than I do. But this being my first kind of taste of the music program, it's unbelievable the amount of productions that we do and also the amount of resources that we have here. I think we're extremely fortunate enough to have such an established music program that's continually growing and becoming stronger every year.
I totally agree. When I started in 2009, it was a much smaller program, and it was the first year that we decided to switch from English translations to original languages, and everyone thought that was kind of crazy, and it's just grown exponentially. Regularly amazed every year by what my colleagues are able to pull off. I mean, it's young singers doing really, really hard stuff, and I think it's fantastic.
What's Abigail's role?
Abigail is sort of the instigator of the entire thing. As a soprano, to get a chance to play somewhat of a bad guy has been a little bit refreshing. You know, she's a teenager, and in a lot of ways, she doesn't know that what she's doing is bad, but in a lot of ways, she absolutely does. And, you know, she's complicated and a little bit crazy, and it's been an exciting character to try to embody.
What have been some of the challenges in singing the role of John Proctor?
being my age, being only 26, it's normally the people who do sing this are well in their like late 30s, early 40s, and are a lot more established with just how big their voices have grown over time. And it is a big sing, but at the same time, I love the challenge because it's just, I've never done a full role like this before, and it really challenges me not only musically but also mentally, just to try to really get into character and also to really bring that drama to the music as well.
My name is Rachel Lipson. I'm a second year graduate student here at UD in voice performance, and I'm the assistant director of our fall opera, which is The Crucible.
What do you enjoy about being part of the production cast?
I really like just having a hand in every kind of creative element. I'm a little bit of a control freak, I guess, but I really like helping people kind of find their direction and find their characterization. And I think the story is just incredibly compelling, especially because it's based on historical events. I love also adding musical elements, of course, to it as a singer. So it's kind of like combining my three great loves, which is literature, acting, and singing.
Have you had to adjust your thought process?
Yeah, as you can probably imagine, all of us on the production staff are musicians, and we all, frankly, we'd kill to be every role at once. Like, we just love the idea of singing everything. And there are definitely times when I have to give specific criticism, specific constructive criticism with the proper adjectives, the proper direction, and not just sing it for them the way I would like it to be done. And it's a matter of, I think, trusting your cast to take their characterization personally, to take their own ideas to the next level.
What's difficult for you as a singer or some of the singers in the production about acting at the same time that they're singing?
That's always like the great conundrum, is how to act while you sing. So of course, as singers, we want to control everything that comes out of our mouth. Really, we want to make it beautiful, we want to make it compelling, and also correct. And sometimes those things contradict each other. Sometimes the most accurate way of singing isn't the one that's going to portray the characterization best. So we have to kind of let go of the persnickety details sometimes of our technique or of the actual composition to allow for, you know, true characterization and true drama.
So that sounds like a big difference between being a concert singer or singing choral music?
Yeah, obviously choral music has to have precision. It has to have exact cutoffs. It has to have exact dynamics and tone, because it's all being kind of regimented in some way by virtue of there being like 20 of you in a section. But luckily, as an opera singer, you get kind of those little diva moments. You know, we don't want to call ourselves divas, but you do want to take full advantage of the fact that you are you. There's only one of you in that role at that time. You get to, you know, take advantage of the stage.
Hi, I'm Jason Rosario. I am a senior music education major, and I'm playing Thomas Putnam.
Tell me a little bit about some of the differences in the program and what your career aspirations might be.
My ultimate career thing is to be teaching in elementary, middle, or high school, depending on obviously where I get a job. I do very much enjoy taking voice lessons with my voice teacher, and obviously performing in the opera, performing in different a cappella groups on campus, stuff like that. But as far as the way that the programs work, the major difference is that I take education classes towards music education, whereas performance majors don't take those classes necessarily, but they do take other classes outside of that to kind of focus on like more languages and management and stuff like that.
I also get the sense then that you may be learning some lessons in the staging of the different productions at UD that'll help you when you go to teach.
Yeah, it's definitely it definitely helps with getting in front of people and kind of finding your character, presenting something to someone, whether it be teaching a lesson about a choral piece or just performing Thomas Putnam in The Crucible. You have to portray some sort of character, some sort of emotion or information that you want to give to anyone that's in front of you.
My name is Paul Patinka. I'm a first-year graduate student, and I'll be singing Reverend Paris. So my character is the reverend of the town, and he, in the first act, is very spooked by the idea of witches because he's afraid, basically through the whole opera, of losing his power and control over the town. He kind of retains that fear through the entire thing, even though he starts to side with people about the witches. So he's a very fearful man.
What's different about singing in a 20th century opera?
I think it's really interesting because there's a lot less people to listen to regarding this. There's not a lot of recordings about it, and you really can't go back to the, you know, the old goodies like Pavarotti and them and listen to their interpretations. You have to really make up your own because there's just not a lot of professional recordings done of it.
What about the music itself?
The music is really, really beautiful, and I think The Crucible relies not, I mean, it's very modern aesthetic, but it relies a lot on older themes as well. And you can hear, every time you listen to the recording over and over again, you can hear different themes for different characters come out in the orchestration. And I think that's a really cool, you know, throwback to people like Mozart and Beethoven and how they wrote their operas. So
what have you had the most fun with so far?
I think just learning the music itself. I mean, the staging is, you know, really nice, and like singing these huge ensemble pieces that are just really glorious. But just learning the music was a really intense challenge, and I think it was really cool to do because it's not, you don't find music like this very often that is incredibly as challenging as it is. So.
My name is Ethan Yudovich. I am a sophomore vocal performance major at the University of Delaware, and I am singing Judge Danforth. Judge Danforth, he's sort of an antagonist, but not in like a maniacal evil sort of sense, because he does have a very strong religious foundation. He believes a lot in what he's doing, and he really does think that he's doing the right thing for the town and for the community. He's also very stern about it, and he's very self-righteous, which can also be seen as a negative trait. He's sort of an antagonist in a very complex sort of way.
What have you enjoyed about this role?
I love being the, like, a power-centric kind of figure. I think it's
It's a lot of...
Blake, you have a megalomaniac here. Did you know that?
You have no idea, man.
It's a lot of fun to play roles like that because, I mean, it's just... It's cool because I don't think you get to do that a lot. And most tenor rep is more on the romantic sort of side, and it's not as much as you get to play an antagonist or someone who's a presiding over something like a court. And it's a unique opportunity, I think.
How different is it singing a part in a dramatic performance as opposed to speaking a part in a play?
I think you really have to be careful to not let the characterization and the energy get in the way of the singing. You kind of have to make sure you're really separating the two. And it's very easy to let them blend together and to let it affect things like technique. That's one of the challenges.
What's been your favorite thing to sing so far?
I mean, German music itself is just incredible. I would say of all the European styles, I think I like the German the most. It's so dramatic, and Mozart in particular is very energetic, and he's just a lot of fun to perform.
Robert Ward's music for The Crucible is also very dramatic.
Yes, very much so. I think Ward does a great job at really highlighting the dramatic parts of the text, and it's very supportive of the subject matter and of the play, which was originally written by Arthur Miller. It's just there's some chord progressions in there. When I just hear them, I'm like, this is exactly what the scene needs, and it's just so cool to listen to. I love it.
I am Frantasia Rouse, and I'm a recent graduate of the University of Delaware, class 2015, and I'm playing Tituba.
Hello, my name is Rayvon Middlebrooks. I am a second-year graduate student pursuing a Master's of Music degree in vocal performance, and my character's name is Giles Corey.
Tell me about the role you're singing.
Tituba is the slave from Barbados. She is the most cunning character, I would say, in the play. She uses her lack of status to come above and to really just survive and not be whipped, not be villainized. She is a really important character, mostly because she's the only person that is used to being blamed for everything. And because of that, you see a huge transformation from what seems to be just straight survival to outright insanity and just losing her mind.
So Tituba advances the action, plays an important part in the dramatic process.
Yes, I think it's really important to also note that Tituba, coming from where she comes from and the culture that's within her, is a lot of obeah, witchcraft, and it's something that is really important to the play because all of the women the girls in the story are fascinated by her because of her abilities to do this. And in some ways they sort of trick her into doing this and then spinning it around on her and making it all her fault. And that way, when you really think about the betrayal that happens and just the sadness of thinking that you're a part of something and then suddenly you're just not.
Giles Corey also plays an important part in advancing the drama.
Yes. See, my wife Martha is accused of witchcraft, and I am fed up with the lies and the nonsense that is going on within the town. So many people are being accused and are sent to jail and up to be hung. And so what my character does is I stand up to the court and I accuse Thomas Putnam. All he's doing is riding this train just to take everybody's land. I'm a farmer, and my lineage and my land is very important to me, as everybody else's should be. And for this rich man to come and accuse myself and my wife is just not cool. So when I'm putting him on the forefront, the judge asks me to give proof, and I cannot give proof, because if I give proof, then the people that I gave up for proof are going to also be sent into jail, because it's going to end up being twisted around. And I am defiant in that matter, and because of that, I am going to be arrested in contempt of court. And so in retaliation, I lunge at Thomas Putnam, and eventually I'm taken away and I'm crushed to death.
If our listeners would like to attend a performance of the Crucible. When can they do that?
They can do it on both Friday, the 13th of November, spooky, right? at 8 p.m. Also, they can do it on Sunday, November 15th at 3 p.m. in Loudis Recital Hall in Amy E. DuPont Music Building.
Thanks for listening to this special edition of The Music Room on WVUD and WVUD HD1 Newark, where we have presented a preview of the UD Opera Theater's upcoming production of The Crucible, which will be held November 13th at 8 p.m. and November 15th at 3 p.m. in the Loudis Recital Hall of the Amy DuPont Music Building. Our thanks to the UD Opera Theater cast and crew for letting us come to their rehearsal of The Crucible, and especially thanks to James Allen Anderson, the conductor, and Blake Smith, the director of the production. For more information, go to our show's website, sites.udel.edu/TMR, or go to the music department's website at music.udel.edu. Thanks for listening to WVUD and WVUD HD1 Newark.